Verse 24, he says this: "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. And as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given authority, he has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I did not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you might be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life." This seems like a reasonably complex passage to begin with, as we look at what Jesus has to say. But there are some things which stand out immediately. We've been talking throughout this series in the past couple of months how John, the apostle who actually wrote this gospel, is writing these things so that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. That's why John is writing these things down. And as we look at this passage, what Jesus has to say about himself, he makes some extraordinary claims about life. Verse 24, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment." Jesus is making a huge claim for himself. He says this, that "I say to you now, the hour is coming and now is, when even the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live." He's talking both spiritually and also even physically, when there will come a time that those who are dead will actually hear the voice of God and be raised up again. As Jesus says, some will be raised up to judgment and some will be raised up to life. Jesus here is claiming the power of life. He's claiming the power not just of life now, but everlasting life. Life that passes from death into life after death. He says that even the dead, if they hear my voice, will live. He's saying, I have the authority of God because God himself sent me. I have the authority of God, and God has given me the power to pass on this life. I have life in myself. Look at verse 26. He says there, "For the Father," he's talking about God the Father, "has life in himself, so he has granted to the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. There are two big themes in this passage, two big things that Jesus has to say. He says, I am here because God the Father has sent me to do two things. One is to execute judgment. I have authority to execute judgment. And the other is to give life, everlasting life. He has both the authority and the power to give everlasting life. Now, as people, we like to think that we have power over life. But as there is a common saying, there's two things certain in life, death and taxes. We do recognise, even as our medical advances grow greater and greater, that we do not have power over life. Sometimes we even claim power and authority to take life, but even those who claim power and authority to take life do not have the power and the authority to give life to one who is dead. It is only God who has power and authority to give life to one who is dead. Jesus himself said that he has been given this authority from the Father. Jesus says that he only acts on the Father's command. He only acts on the Father's commission. And just like any judge has to be set apart to do that particular work. He has to be commissioned as a judge. Jesus can give you life, or Jesus can condemn, because God has given him that authority and that power. Now we're told that as the life-giving judge, Jesus does not seek his own, but instead he seeks God's will. We're also told in Scripture that God sent his Son, and yet Jesus willingly came down. God sent his Son, and Philippians says he was in the very form of God. He did not consider it robbery to be called equal with God, and yet he came down as a servant, as we've sung, to wash our feet and to die on the cross for us. He died on the cross, both out of his own goodwill to his creation, but also under the authority of God, because he is commissioned as both the judge and the life-giving and the giver of life in this world. But there's an obvious question, and there's an obvious question that the Jews here would have asked him. They had seen his power to heal, and yet even so, if you have someone who claims to be a judge over you, you want to ask that person a question. I mean, imagine if someone claimed in your life to be your judge. They came into your life and they said, I am your judge. There is an obvious question that you want to ask. Well, who says that you are my judge? Who made you my judge? You actually have in your own life many judges that you have not met before. They've been set apart and appointed by people that you have not met, and yet they stand as your judge. And if you end up in court one day, they'll be making judgment over you. And you can say to that person, who made you a judge and a ruler over me? And Jesus is prepared for these Pharisees to say to him, well, who made you a judge and a ruler over us? And even in our legal system, if someone is a judge, they need to actually have been through a commission, a confirmation of the fact that they have been set apart as a judge. And in every confirmation or being set apart as a judge, or perhaps in any other high office, for instance as an MP or as a PM, there's always a public ceremony, there's always vows that have been made, there's always lots of witnesses to say, yes, this person has been set apart as a judge, he is people's judge, so that even if you come across a judge that you never met, and he claims to be a judge over you, yet there is the whole state of Queensland and the judicial system who's actually said, we have witnessed the fact that this person has been set apart as a judge to try your case. So Jesus says there are actually witnesses, and he says there are four witnesses, which I'm going to give to you Pharisees, to show you that I am a legitimate judge. And as a judge, I can condemn and I can give life. He says, I don't take this just to myself. I've been commissioned to do this. So let's look at those four witnesses. Since Jesus is claiming the highest office of all, who has set him apart? He says, well, God has set me apart. And the first witness of that he wants to claim before these Pharisees is John the Baptist. And he says this. He says, if I bear witness of myself, verse 31, my witness is not true. I can't come as a judge in your life and say, I'm a judge. Who says? I do. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You, Pharisees, have sent to John, that is, John the Baptist, who is regarded as a prophet, the voice of God, and he has borne witness to the truth. The Pharisees, who were here speaking to Jesus, had sent to John to say, well, who is this man Jesus wandering around doing these miracles? And John had said these things. He had said, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He has said, this is the great judge who is coming with his winnowing fan to clear out his threshing floor. He's the Saviour and he's the judge. And that's what John had said to the Pharisees when they had come to actually say, this Jesus is making claims. Who is he? He says, he's Saviour, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and he's judge. He's the one who's cleaning out the house. But even though these people were willing to rejoice in the light that John brought, after all, Jesus says, John, he, verse 35, was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in that light. These people loved what John had to say. And yet, the most important things that John had to say, that this here is Jesus, someone whom I'm not even worthy to take his sandals off. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the great judge cleaning out his house. The most important things that John had to say, the Pharisees rejected. You see, for all of the things that they'd heard, for all of the light that they'd been given, the Pharisees rejected what John had to say. The things which they had heard in all of his preaching didn't really change them in their heart. It didn't really draw them closer to God. And they dismissed the most important things that they heard. And I guess that's a challenge. It's a challenge to think about how we actually receive the light that we get given. I mean, is this you? I mean, are you here at church for a period of time and you're actually appreciating the light? You enjoy the light. You rejoice in the light that you hear. Some of it you really like. But in the end, do you reject the most important things that John has to say in his gospel, that Matthew has to say in the gospel, that Jesus has to say about himself? Do you reject the most important things? Because that's what these Pharisees had done. They rejected the fact that John had said that he was judge over the whole world. They rejected the fact that John had said that he was the saviour of the whole world. They rejected the fact that John said that this is the Messiah, the saviour. That's the first witness that Jesus calls. He says, John knew that I was the saviour, and yet you rejected him, even though you liked what he had to say at first. The second person, he says, well, this is actually far more important. He says, verse 36, for I have a greater witness than this. Here's something which is going to prove that I actually am the great judge that I say that I am, as well as the great life giver that I say that I am. I have a greater witness, verse 36, than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me. Here's the second witness. The things that Jesus Christ did. Jesus did not just rely on John, and normally you do require a number of witnesses. So Jesus says, here's the second witness, my works. Jesus had shown in front of all of these people that he had power over sickness. Just the same day he had shown that he had that power. He had shown in previous days that he had power over spiritual forces, casting out demons. He had shown that he had power over nature, being able to change water into wine, being able to stop the winds by his very voice. He had shown and would show that he had power over death itself. These works, he said, were his witness. They prove the point. They prove that he is the judge, both the judge and the life giver. These works were his witnesses, and yet the Pharisees, all those standing around, rejected that. They didn't listen. These works confirmed that Jesus had been given the power and the authority both to give life and to judge the world. But that's a little bit hard for us, because after all, you weren't there. You weren't there 2,000 years ago to see Jesus' works. But then again, you're not there to see the judge being set apart either, are you? Down at the High Court in Brisbane or anything like that. So you actually need to take account of the witnesses who actually did see the work. And the question is, will you actually believe the witnesses of these works? Are you going to believe the witnesses? There are many who testify of Jesus' works. Even his detractors, even those who despised Jesus, even those who hated him and wanted him killed, they didn't say that Jesus wasn't a miracle worker. Instead, they took it and they called him a magician, someone who had power but not necessarily real spiritual power. Or they called him someone who had power from the devil. Even his detractors didn't take away from his works until the Romans decided that they would put out a story about him not being raised from the dead. So the next question is, will you believe the witnesses? Will you believe the witnesses, or when Jesus says to you, I'm your judge, are you going to say to him, well, who made you judge? Who made you a judge and a ruler over me? Do you really have the power to give life or to take away or to condemn? Who made you my judge? Now, normally two witnesses of something are enough to corroborate that it actually happens. They're sufficient to prove the truth of something. But Jesus here says, look, I've got twice two, I've got four. Jesus says that there are more witnesses which actually testify of the fact that he has authority and that he has power to give life. He has the power to judge between everlasting life or death. And these aren't ordinary witnesses. The next witness that he calls is God himself. Verse 37. The Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You want to say to Jesus, who made you a judge over me? His answer is God the Father. He made me judge. And I have been God with him since the beginning. God made Jesus judge. And just to make the point, God actually said it out loud to all those who saw Jesus being baptized. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. A voice came out of heaven and specifically pointed at Jesus and said, yes, this is the one that God has set apart. This is God's Son. This is God the Son who is actually God from all eternity. And even now we're told that God has lifted Jesus up. He's given him the name which is above every name. He's set him at his right hand and he will judge the earth at the end. Jesus is judge. And just like a judge in the High Court, Just saying, well, I didn't see the witnesses, doesn't make him not a judge. A judge is judged because of the power that he has been given by those who are above him. And Jesus is judged because of the authority which has been given to him by God himself. Do you believe God? That's the next question. Do you actually believe God? God has shown us authority and power and mercy and life all through Jesus Christ, all put into Jesus Christ as a person, shown in his life and his death and his burial and his resurrection into glory. God has shown us himself. And Jesus says, if you believe the Father, you have to believe in the one that he sent. If you believe God, you'll believe Jesus. If you refuse to believe Jesus, then you refuse to believe God. So are you refusing Jesus' claim upon you? Do you refuse the claims of Jesus Christ? Because in the end, it's not just Jesus, some peasant, some carpenter from Galilee some 2,000 years ago. It's not Jesus, it's God himself that you're refusing. Jesus calls out one more witness, the fourth witness, which testifies to the fact that Jesus has power and authority to judge, to bring life, to bring condemnation, is the scriptures itself. Now this is very important to those who are listening. These were the Pharisees. The Pharisees, if anyone knew their scriptures, it was the Pharisees, and they had the scriptures which are in the first part of our scriptures, the Old Testament, and they knew them. They could recite them. Many of them could write them out word for word, whole books of the scriptures. I wish that I could write out whole books of scriptures word for word. And he says to these Pharisees, you have all of these scriptures. You claim to know so much, and yet look in the scriptures. These scriptures, the Old Testament, they all testify about me. I'll give you one more witness. It's here in the book that you claim to actually revere, the book that you claim to obey. This scripture is given by God himself. It's the prophecy of the Messiah who comes. It's the songs about the Messiah who will come. It's the image of the servant king shown 400 years before. It's the words of the one who would suffer and die and yet be raised into glory. It's all of these things, and they're all in the Old Testament. And Jesus says, these scriptures testify of me. If you want to know about someone, you have to go to the person who knows. If you want to know whether Jesus has been given power and authority, you can't just ask any old person on the street. Any old person on the street wasn't around when Jesus was given power and authority. You have to go to someone who knows, to someone who is a witness. And these scriptures, they testify of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament and also now what we have in the New. And Jesus says, these scriptures, all of the Old Testament and now the New Testament, are the witness that he is the one who has the power and the authority from God. That is an incredible claim. No one else has ever made that claim. At least, no one else has ever made that claim and been able to say it and not have people laugh in their face. And yet Jesus, rather than having people laugh in his face, was seen as a threat. And for that threat, he was crucified. So in conclusion, Jesus faced people who said that they were looking for a saviour. All of these Jews, they said, yeah, you know, we want to know God and we want this Messiah. Now, each of you are here today because you're at least thinking, you're at least looking. Perhaps I know that many of you have submitted to God and you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. All of these Pharisees were looking for that Saviour. They said that they believed in God's promises, and yet they wouldn't commit themselves to Jesus. They hated Jesus. But you see, you can't be seeking God and yet refusing to act on the witnesses that God has actually given. You can't be seeking God and refusing the voice of Jesus whom God has set apart, refusing the voice of the scriptures that testify of Jesus' authority, that say, yes, he is the Messiah. God has given you enough witnesses. God has given you enough witnesses. It's there. Just as Jesus had given the Israelites enough witnesses, all that really remains is to look to question those witnesses and to submit to the judge and Saviour. And I want to leave you with this verse, verse 40. I want you to ask yourself, does this speak of you? Because in the end, Jesus offers you life. And yet he says to these people, I am the power, I am the judge, and I am the life. But verse 40, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I offer you myself, totally, completely, and yet you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. To come to Jesus involves a terrible submission. It involves recognizing that our sins have made us ugly before God, that they deserve death, and yet God, who is so merciful, has not yet placed that punishment upon us, and instead he has placed it on Jesus Christ. So if you want to be raised up in glory on that day that Jesus is talking about, if you want to be raised up in life, then you must accept Jesus' death. Because if in that day you hear the voice of Jesus and you're raised up from that grave and you don't have his death, then you'll have to suffer that condemnation, which is in the scriptures referred to as the second death. So Jesus offers you life, and he says to these Pharisees, you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. My question is, are you willing to come to Jesus, to let go of your own righteousness, to come to him so that you may have life? Amen.